gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Superheroes have to be around other superheroes. You know what I mean? That's the Hall of Justice is more about them just commiserating about their powers and less about them, like, actually fighting crime.
Seth Everett is the best there is at what he does, bub. And what he does is the Hall of Justice podcast.
Go, go, go with a smile. Somebody save me. Let your warm hands break right through. Somebody save me. I don't care how you do. Just
hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Hall of Justice. This is episode 256, and we are talking about Smallville. It's not the first time on the podcast that we have done that. Way back in episode 125, the cast of Smallville was from a Wizard World Cleveland con that Victor Dandridge hosted. John Glover's been on the podcast, Lionel Luther himself. That was episode 139. And right back before COVID in 2020, I was at Wizard World New Orleans, and Wizard World's been in the news recently. We'll talk about that in just a second as well. Wizard World New Orleans, they split the men and the women from Smallville into two separate panels, and we did a podcast, episode 172, of the ladies, Erica Durance, Kristen Kruk, and Laura Vandervoort, who played Supergirl on Smallville, but we never aired the men. Part of the reason was COVID came and new guests were available. The podcast is continuing to have some amazing guests and reviews and things like that. Michael Rosenbaum came in when we had a slew of amazing guests. Frank Grillo, Michael Rosenbaum, Rob Paulson, just some amazing guests. Michael Rosenbaum was episode 228. So we've had a lot of Smallville episodes, but this week, if you're looking at this podcast, the week that it's released, it was recently the 20th anniversary of the premiere of Smallville. Smallville's premiere was in 2001, and it was shortly after 9/11. As a matter of fact, the premiere date was moved because of 9/11. And now they are commemorating 20 years of Smallville with a brand new Blu-ray that was released October 19th. So again, if you're listening to this the week that it's released, just a couple of days ago, and they did a whole media blitz, including stuff for the DC fandom. Well, it turns out that at that Wizard World Con in January 2020, just a few weeks before the shutdown, I interviewed Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and John Glover. Now, for John Glover and Michael Rosenbaum, this is a return appearance, but we never had Tom Welling and myself outside of that original panel back in episode 125. I know this is all confusing, but for the 20th anniversary, we thought it would be neat to air the interview with Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and John Glover about Smallville. And then there was the story of Wizard World. Wizard World recently announced that they are merging or folding into Fan Expo. And Wizard World is very instrumental in the creation of this podcast. I worked in 2015 for something called Con TV, which was something that Wizard World and Cinedigm had partnered on to do live, almost like college game day broadcasts at Comic Cons. And that's where I met Victor, and that's where I met a lot of the people who've been on this podcast. And it was the impetus of that to know that there were so many adults that were part of this genre that I thought we could make a podcast out of it. And that's when the Hall of Justice was really conceived. Wizard World is shutting its doors. And this past weekend, again, if you're listening to this the week that it's released, this past weekend, the Wizard World Chicago marked the end of Wizard World. And as an homage, I thought, what better way for the 20th anniversary of Smallville and the final Wizard World? This is my final Wizard World panel that I have not aired on the Hall of Justice. I thought that was a fitting time to pay tribute to an amazing television show and also to a great comic book company or Comic-Con company, and one that I really did enjoy working with over the years. Before we get to the Smallville discussion, Superman has been in the news recently, and I just had a couple of things I wanted to get off my chest about Superman and the Man of Steel, and some stories about the comic books. I don't read the comic books anymore, but the comic books are still coming out, and you know, I have reverence for the writers and the artists who still make these comic books. But with the proliferation of all the TV shows and the movies and all the independent contracts and things like that, I don't read books the way I used to. The first story was such a gross, wrongly reported media incident. Superman is bisexual. And, you know, in this social media TikTok world, we just take the headlines. We don't read it. I thought it was awful. I had people calling me and said, what do you make of Superman being bisexual? First of all, it's not Clark Kent. It's the son, Jonathan Kent. And I wouldn't be surprised if in season two or season three of Superman and Lois, they explore that. I wouldn't be shocked. The point being is that, A, I have no problem with Superman being bisexual. But if you're going to tell the story, tell the story. It's Superman's son. Apparently in the comic book, Superman has to go off world. And he's asked his son, Jonathan, to fill in as Superman, and Superman has a relationship with a guy. Great. Two things. Number one, report the story correctly, media. That's awful. And secondly, it's not making me buy the comic book. And if it's stunt, then it's awful. Because I don't like those stories just for stunts. If it's part of the narrative, and if it's part of the artist's intention, or the author's intention, I'm all for it. I don't care if Green Lantern's gay. I don't care if any of them are. It does not matter to me. And they're fictional characters. We're not talking about real people. And I just think their sexuality, if it fits the story, fine. If it's stunt because you're trying to get in the news, well, the media grossly misreported the whole thing. That's number one. The second thing came from DC Fandom, where DC announced that Superman, now Clark Kent we're talking about, the Superman, is no longer going to fight for truth, justice, and the American way. His new phrase is truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. And all I ask is, does everyone need a catchphrase? And secondly, did you need to announce that? Because all you did was poke the bear. And you got the right-wing media all up in arms about truth, justice, and the American way and changing because you're anti-American. Nobody's anti-American. They're trying to be more inclusive. And it just was not necessary. And I didn't understand what the point was unless it's the same thing. It's stunt. You're trying to make it so that you're in the news. And boy, were they. They were in the news. It's bonkers. And the reality of it is that Superman's mantra or fight, if you want to say he fights for truth, justice, and the American way, look, that's in the opening to the George Reeves, The Adventures of Superman TV show. It's what we grew up with. But if Superman's going to be around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, is he always going to have this phrase? I don't know. All I thought it was you poked the bear and you got, you know, Tucker Carlson all riled up unnecessarily. It was not something that we needed to have a discussion about. We have bigger things in our world going on than what Superman fights for. I just thought it was weird. All right. Those are the two things I had to get off my chest. Again, the Smallville Complete Series 20th Anniversary Edition features all 218 episodes of the iconic series. 218 episodes. That's amazing. It comes out wherever you can get Blu-rays. It's also out on digital, you know, iTunes, the whole thing. Tom Welling as Clark Kent. It does feature a lot of Allison Mack as Chloe Sullivan. Kristen Kruk, Michael Rosenbaum, who's been on the podcast, John Glover, our guest today as well, Erica Durance, Annette O'Toole as Martha Kent, John Schneider as Jonathan Kent. I will say, when this all came about in this project, I wanted to get motivated for the Smallville episode. I rewatched a couple of the episodes, and the one that I went to first is called Rosetta, and it's the season 2 episode when Clark travels to New York and meets Christopher Reeve, who is playing Dr. Virgil Swan, and he finds out he's from Krypton. And he finds a message that his parents had encrypted into a broadcast that Virgil Swan intercepted. And watching that and seeing Christopher Reeve again, really, really remarkable. It really was incredible. All right, without further ado, we're going to take a quick timeout because we have a sponsor, and the sponsor has been remarkable. It's been so fun to have this sponsor. HBO Max, the Batman, the Audio Adventures, and just the idea that this podcast called The Hall of Justice is sponsored by Batman is pretty stinking amazing. So what we'll do, we'll take a quick timeout. You'll hear the Batman ad, and then we'll get to live at Wizard World Comic-Con 2020. That was in January of 2020, pre-COVID, myself interviewing Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and John Glover here on the Hall of Justice. This portion of the Hall of Justice is brought to you by Batman, the Audio Adventures, only on HBO Max. Yes, it is true. There's a new audio show, and it's on HBO Max already. Bruce Wayne may appear to be a wealthy playboy, but beneath this facade, his true identity is that of the Batman, waging an endless war against crime. I can't do the voice. Join the Caped Crusader in Batman the Audio Adventures, the first scripted audio original featuring Batman and his villainous Rogues Gallery in a world premiere story of life and death in Gotham City, debuting exclusively on HBO Max. We've had guests on the Hall of Justice that have played Batman. This time it is Jeffrey Wright. He's starring as Batman, joined by a who's who of incredible Saturday Night Live alums. This rollicking adventure told across 10 episodes is written and directed by Emmy winner Dennis McNicholas. It includes devilishly delightful original music by Doug Bossi and performances by Rosario Dawson, John Leguizamo, Chris Parnell, Melissa Villaseñor, Seth Meyers, Jason Sudeikis, Brooke Shields, Fred Armisen, and many, many more. Go to hbomax.com/Batman Audio Adventures for more. Stream Batman the Audio Adventures only on HBO Max. Now back to the Hall of Justice.
Anybody see Smallville? You know that show, right? I don't have to explain. We don't have to do plot details. We know that show. All right. You haven't seen it? I'll give you a synopsis. I'll see what I can do. All right, my name is Seth Everett. So glad that you're here for this. This is the men of Smallville. So without further ado, let's welcome Clark Kent himself, Tom Welling, Lex Luthor, Michael Rosenbaum, and Lionel Luthor, John Glover.
You got it, man.
My man.
Thank you for the local television news outlet to come out with the professional.
Yeah.
That's vodka, dude.
Lex.
I took care of you. Serious.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, boy.
My wife. My one true fan.
Your daddy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
All right. For all of you not blocking your faces with phones, please feel free to bring them up.
By the way,
I can't see any of you.
Check this out. I like just the microphones with that. Just wait, the people waiting for questions. There's just one person.
Is this your
there.
Time? It's a solo.
Can you please sing a song by Journey
by
right now?
Myself.
Go ahead, start singing, sir.
So, what is your thoughts on the DCEU universe or the Arrowverse crossover?
That is the worst song.
I'm sorry.
No, we're gonna get to your question first, but Seth, you
I'm
take
sorry.
Over.
I didn't.
I've been told that I'm not going to get a word in.
It's going very well.
We will. Hold on. We're going to get to your question. I think he's upset with me.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Nice banana, John.
That's the banana. That's
this
the mic.
Is the prize.
He said, what?
Talk to.
No, I didn't.
This is the prize.
Young lady, would you like to sing a song?
Hang tight as the first.
No, I'm in trouble.
Let my love open the door. You can sing?
I can sing.
Go ahead, sing something.
Just a little something.
Away in the manger, no crib for his bed.
Beautiful.
Amen, amen.
Yes! This is going to be a very special episode. That was great. This is going to be a really special panel. I can feel
all
it.
All right.
What? Wash your face. What? I can't hear you. Oh, thank you. You're special.
Oh, he's special.
I'm special. I'm very special. We're all special.
What are we? Chopped liver?
Yeah. What are we?
All right.
Somebody yell at Seth. Seth, take over.
Should we start the panel? All right, let's start this thing. First of all, we have news. You know, there's been some Smallville news in the last month. Clark Kent made an appearance on the CW last week.
He did?
I know, and he looked just like you.
But older. Did you guys notice I tried to do a little bit Jonathan Kent with the gloves? That was Jonathan Kent. Try to bring that back a little bit. Thanks for noticing.
Tell us about the call, the process. What can you tell us about the experience and the homage to Smallville in their crisis?
It worked for one day. Come on. No, I'm kidding.
I had to get this one out of the way. This is the journalism card because you're going to take over the whole thing.
It was great. They called and they said, we have this idea. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not really interested. And they're like, no, just hear us out. And they told me what the idea was, that Clark is like 8 years later and he's given up his powers and everybody kind of comes to see him. And they were like, what do you think? And there's kids in the room, so I won't use the actual word. But as you said last night, I kind of went, effin'. And the guy on the other side of the line, he was like, sorry, what did you say? And I go, just give me a second. He's like, why? And I was like, I'm trying to figure out a reason why this is a bad idea. And he goes, what do you mean? I'm like, this is a good idea. Just give me a second. I'll figure out a reason not to do this. Because I don't want to do it, but it's a good idea. And it, just the way it worked out and the story-wise, and I think the closure on the Clark Kent, I hope that for you guys, you got to see Clark Kent 8 years later from Smallville and not some Arrowverse version of, like, some altered universe. Because I even asked, I said, am I playing Clark from Smallville or am I playing a version of Clark? They go, no, you're playing Clark, and Lois is Lois. And so I thought it represented Smallville a lot, which is why it spoke to me. So,
cool. What about the decision that they had made that they presented to you about giving up the powers? What was your thought process on you embracing that and just the idea of that storyline?
I'm, as I think some of you know, I don't really know much as about the history and the universes and all that stuff. So when they said that, you know, Clark gave up his powers, I was like, why? Like, oh, so we get a family with Lois. I'm like, yeah, but how, walk me through that.
Yeah.
And then they did. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Yeah. I liked it. And then,
don't you even ask me why I didn't do it. Don't freaking talk to me about that, Seth.
No, I think you should do an episode of Inside of You just on the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Break it all down.
Let's do it right now.
Well, we'll see.
John, did you watch The Crisis?
I had no idea what... I don't know what you're talking about. Well, obviously they didn't ask me to do anything.
I saw John yesterday, and he said, Tom, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, John, it's great to see you. He goes, I heard you were in a crisis. No, he didn't, but I just...
That's good.
That.
I believed it.
That's a pretty good line.
I heard you were in a crisis. That. Is everything
That's a pretty
all right?
good line. Michael,
I was like, yeah, it was great.
There was a lot of outpouring on social media that wanted to know if you would reprise Lex in any way. Was there any circumstance that you would consider?
You know,
they can't handle the truth.
Yeah, it's not a, you know, it's not an ego thing. I mean, maybe partly it is, but for me, I don't want to play any I want to play, I'm either Lex or I'm not.
Right.
I'm the Lex or I'm not. So there's not any kind of variation or other worlds with Lex, and there's like, hey, you want to give me a shot at playing a badass that some people liked, then I'll do it. You know, but...
Look, there's some people.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great role, and I just don't want to lessen what I did. I'd rather, if that's it, that's it. You know what I mean?
The one thing for all three of you that you've seen as this, you know, overabundance of superhero genre stuff, it just seems that the reverence for what you guys did is of grand detail. It seems like anytime you see an interview with any of the younger people, any of the people who have been involved in this, a lot of people owe a lot to the show. What about what this new wave of content has meant for the legacy of the show that you guys did?
You know, I think it's
That was pretty intense, huh?
No, I didn't know that would happen.
You know, I think it's I'm honored by it, and I think everybody who, you know, all these people who are on these successful shows and Arrow and The Flash and all this, they don't owe us anything. They don't, you know, they're doing their own thing, and it's great and it's successful, and they have millions and millions of fans. And what we did is special, but I think this was before it all happened. This was a story before the story in many ways. So I think with the cinematic approach to it, with the storytelling, with not making these kind of these caricatures
wearing masks,
it was really just, it was grounded as much as it could be. You know, when he didn't do the tights or flights, and me not being evil and going, this is what I'm good. It was just, you got to know why I became bad. And... You got to know why I became bad. And it was our story, and it was unique. And so all these shows started, they're like, oh, Smallville's successful, let's make a Flash, let's make an Arrow, let's make a Supergirl, We were the only one, really, that there was. So we're the first. So I take a lot of... I think it's really cool, and there was no social media. We didn't have social media, so I think that helped us.
It was because of you guys.
It was you. And you.
It's your fault.
It really was.
To be just a little serious, that the timing is really everything. I mean, if you think about when your show premiered, it was a month after 9/11. And I remember living in New York during 9/11, and I remember, you know, working and knowing that there was a Superman show, but it wasn't a lot of details. Like you said, the internet was in its infancy. And just the idea that fans were looking for something heroic, not necessarily a hero, but something heroic. And by presenting that, even though Clark was still learning, it was definitely something where he had that integrity. He had, you could tell he had whatever intestinal fortitude it was that was going to make him the hero. And I just thought the fact that you guys started in 2001 just was the ultimate time for your show.
Like, and it was an
escape. Had to happen
at that
moment.
You needed that. People needed it. It was really good timing for that, for the world to just, you know, how many guys come up to us all the time, and women who served in the military or, you know, went to Iraq, and they're like, and they're telling us that, like, hey, Smallville saved me. I'm like, God, that's, come on, how could Smallville save you? And they watched, yeah, and they watched with their platoon, and they...
I know that voice.
Yeah, and it just means, look, I got goosebumps just doing it right now. It's just so amazing. Like, you don't think that this can affect people, and it does. And then you see you guys come up, and some people cry, and, you know, we're blown away by it. It's really, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Tom?
No, that was pretty good.
That was good.
Yeah.
John, when
Michael
you...
Michael does have a heart.
John, you have yes, a I microphone.
Know. I know. Michael does have a heart, and a very big one. He just likes to hide it a lot.
Sometimes.
That's my boy. Taught him everything he knows, and then some.
This poor guy's already, he's like, forget it, I'm going on my phone.
Are you guys going to ask, let me answer this question, or what? Amen. Sorry. Go ahead.
John, what are your memories of Smallville and playing Lionel? All these people know you as the great Lionel Luther.
They come up and sort of start shaking sometimes. But I'm a very vulnerable, neurotic person in real life.
You are.
Yeah. It's the Lionel, yeah. But Michael, well, I think most about it, Annette, and well, you know, I sort of killed her husband and then wooed her, and so I mean, it was. But she's how I found a heart. Martha Kent, yes. So I love Martha.
Annette was great. I forget what episode or what year. But we had a scene between it was Clark and Martha. I think Clark threw a party or something, and his parents came home and they were really upset. And there was a scene with just Martha and Clark, and she starts sort of talking about why it was wrong. And all of a sudden, like, I started crying, and there was no crying in the scene. And we just went with it, and it turned out to be like a really cool scene because it was very
human.
You know, an embarrassed son,
yeah,
with it to, you know, being not scolded, but a mother explaining her disappointment in him. And that sucks. Yeah. Like, that's never fun.
You know, I yeah. To think about it, I've said this before, but I thank you and, you know, even Schneider and Annette. And just, you know, in a way, you guys were mentors. I mean, like
really
I was for
us.
Tom.
it's true.
No, but seriously, you guys brought this weight to it that sometimes we would have came into scenes thinking, all right, doing this. And, you know, whether you touched me a certain way or the way you spoke to me or the way you presented the scene, it made us better actors. It made us engage more. Annette would make us emote more. You would. And
well,
I think
I learned from you and John and Annette accountability. Like, you show up and you do your work. And, like, I couldn't not be prepared with you guys. You know what I mean? And that's a testament to your career and how you guys treat the art. And that's, you know, look up to you guys.
I was nervous as shit when I was doing the pilot. And I thought he didn't like me. I was like, do you remember that?
Yeah. I'm teasing you, of course.
You know I'm sensitive.
I know. That's why I do it.
But I remember going, oh, man, I don't think Glover likes me. He's a two-time Tony Award-winning actor. He's worked with, you know, everybody. Big director, everybody. And like, I don't think he likes me. And then it wasn't until a year later, or a long time after, I said, John, I just felt like you didn't like me. You were just kind of cool. He goes,
what did I say?
You go, I was nervous. I was doing my own thing. I had, why would you think that? I go, isn't it funny? Like, it's communication. And if we just would say, hey, do you not like me?
And high self-esteem.
Yeah, but you didn't want to be the actor who's like, do you like me? Do you like me? Do you really like me?
No, nobody wants to be that guy.
So I didn't ask. Yeah. But you like me.
Oh, I love you. Oh.
Somebody does. Aww.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Dad.
Miss, has your question changed since you've been standing in the spotlight, or is it still the same question?
Okay. I don't like that her microphone's so high.
Okay.
Laudanum mobile, quagliuvanchanto, nusarabanto, isere quarto, laudanum mobile, I'll ask your question, where are you going, You need your phone, I say.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Sandler. All right, what do you got?
My question is, what did you like working on better, Smallville or Lucifer?
Or the what?
Or Lucifer?
That's hard-hitting journalism right there.
Easy answer.
Smallville, of course.
Yeah.
Elaborate, Tom.
I really enjoyed working in Lucifer because of Smallville in a lot of ways. It was a similar universe, and I got to... But I think because of Smallville, I was able to enjoy working on Lucifer because I knew the world, the way they shot the show and sort of what they were going after. And I think that some time had passed since Smallville where I appreciate Smallville more. And so I was able to sort of like feed off of that and have a lot of fun doing Lucifer. Yeah. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, you can go sit down now. Thank you. Great question. She said, you should be happy. You've been up there for an hour.
Hold on.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the DCEU movies or the Crisis crossover special?
Well, for me, I was confused because I had no idea what any of it was. And I still haven't seen the Crisis yet, so I don't know how the scene fits in. I've asked a few people who've come by the table today who've seen it if it worked, because I don't know what's before and after that scene. I still don't. So I'm glad you guys liked it.
Thank you. Good question. All right. Who's got a next question? Who's got a question for John Glover? I'd like to hear him talk. Anyone? Yeah. Any question for John Glover?
I have one for everyone.
You have a question for John?
Everyone.
Okay, for everyone. All right, you don't have to yell at me. Here we go.
What was the funniest part of filming Smallville?
Good job. That was very just direct.
Like. Michael messing up the lines a lot and stuff. Yeah.
Did I mess up a lot?
No, but you would do it on purpose so that we would stay on our toes. That's what I finally realized that you were doing. Yeah. So cause you helped me a lot because I could use my frustration with you on Lex.
It was. It was like you were dealing
with That's why with I fell in love with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Tom?
So many things. I really thought it was funny in the pilot when you were underwater and before, like, I had to jump in the water and swim down and get you, but they took a seat. You know, you were in the seat buckle.
Seat belt say buckle. Seat. This is the remix of the question.
The seat belt buckle. I don't know. You were in the seat belt right. Underwater, and I remember being very new to the business and knowing that you were a seasoned professional, and you were having problems. And I remember being up, like hanging out above the water, being like, oh, "What's this guy's problem? I think he's like had jobs before."
I thought I was going to get fired because, we had to take scuba classes together. Remember, yeah. They taught us how to scuba dive.
You couldn't do it. We're in 3 feet of water, and they're like, "Put your head underwater." I'm like, "Cool, I can breathe underwater." Rosalind's like, "No."
I didn't like it. I just felt claustrophobic. I didn't like it. I passed the class, I guess. But then we're in this 12-foot. Thank you. We're in this 12-foot tub with the car at the bottom, weighted down. And I'm in there, and they have to strap my seatbelt on because I'll just be floating out and shit. And they put weights on me. So I got to go down there. Right when I get down, the guy's there. He puts the mask on me. Put the weights on me. Michael, put the weights on your seatbelt. And then you hear on the speaker,
Michael, can you hear us? Give us a thumbs up if you can hear us.
And I go, and they're like, okay, are you ready? And it's like, okay, you're dead, and get it off!
And I just remember the safety instructors turning to each other, and he's like, well, I mean, we got a good minute after he passes out before any real brain damage happens, so I mean, like, you know.
But I got up, and I go, Tom, I don't know what to do. It's terrifying down there. I can't see. It's murky waters. I don't have anything to see. I'm blind. I've got a seatbelt on, I got all these weights, and he's just going, oh, yeah, it'll be fine, man. I'm like, no, it won't. They're going to fire me. I can't do this. And you're like, well, they're not going to shoot this scene every day. You know? I'm like, I hope not. Next question.
Wait, can we ask a couple of fans?
Wait, no. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. One of the favorite scenes that a lot of the fans always want to know about is this: the episode where Clark finds out that he has X-ray vision. And you fall on the rope, and the first thing you look at is the girls' locker room. And the facial expression that you had, and it was just a glance, and I think every person remembers that scene and knows exactly what they were thinking. You don't remember it, do you?
What were you thinking?
That's a good comment. Because when they filmed my side of it, I was like, what am I looking at? And they're like, you can see through the wall and see the engine of the car outside. I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden I watched the episode, and it's the girls' locker room. So that's the magic of movie making. I thought I was looking at an engine, because later Clark goes to the locker, and he tries to look through the locker. And I remember the director being like, all right, so it's X-ray vision. And I'm like, okay, how do we do it? And he's like, I don't know. How do you want to do it? And I'm like, I go, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to visualize that I can see through the locker. And he goes, okay. And then we rolled on it, and I tried to look through the locker, and I imagined I did. And they were like, that was amazing. And I'm like, well, I did it. So that's how complicated it is, folks. That's how complicated.
Okay, sir. Let's make this a good one.
Part of it's for you because they mentioned you're their Lex. You're not only their Lex and my Lex, you're also my Wally West.
Oh, thank you.
And John's my Riddler.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
So I was wondering if Tom is going to ever join the animated voicing
group. I would love
group.
To.
And
but I don't quite have, these guys have great voices. Both
you could
guys.
Do it, and we've come up with an idea. Tom and I want to do Smallville, the animated series.
Yeah!
You know, we want to do stories that have never been told, so I think that would be cool, and then you could do voices, you know?
The untold stories.
Untold stories. Smallville, the
Nights.
Untold
Smallville
stories.
Smallville Nights, the untold
animated.
Stories.
Who wouldn't watch that?
Yeah!
That'd be fun as hell, and you know what? It could be... Yeah, it could be. Well, didn't you take off as Superman at the very end?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, great. Somebody's like, man. And the other guy's like, man, that show's been done for like 10 years, dumbass. How did you not watch that? Thank you. Who's over there?
Me. Michael, this question's for you.
All right.
I love your podcast. Inside of you, and I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Did you listen to John's episode and Tom's?
Yes, I did. That's why I said I'm not going to put you on the spot to you know, find who your favorite was. I am going to ask you, who would you love to get on the show? And is there anybody, even if they begged you, you're like, yeah, now I want to talk to you. That's okay.
And is there anyone that you really were like, please just leave?
You know what? It's really tough because when you're talking to someone, it's not like you're trying to interrogate and get dirt, but when people are open about... Mm-hmm. their life and they're open a little bit about any fears or adversity they face and how they got over it or depression or it just opens up so much and just helps me and then it helps the people who are listening and I love those conversations. So when people don't open up as much, I find it hard to connect because it seems it's all surface and that's what we watch late night television show for the you know. Mm-hmm. Kimmel's amazing, but Kimmel doesn't, he's not going to get into it with somebody. It's like 5 minutes, like, hey, anyway, you're on, and everything's just very light and surfaced. But my favorite guests, well, look, I'll tell you this. I want you guys to come on again because I love having you. Tom's been on twice. Mm-hmm. Tom's great because we're just pals. He lives up the street, so it's easy for him. He has no excuse, really.
I keep coming up with him.
That's true. You know, I want Gary Oldman. I've been working on that one at Keanu Reeves mm-hmm. and stuff. But
I want Gary Oldman to sit down and be like, Michael, why did you want me so bad?
Because I just am obsessed with you. No, I don't know if I'd say
that.
I was seriously obsessed. Like, I love Gary Oldman. He's the best. But you know what? I love the 80s, too. I love the 70s. So when I can get, like... Leah Thompson, I think, is going to come on from Back to the Future. And, you know, guys like, you know, Richard Marx came on the show and played some guitar, and it was just awesome. It made me really happy. So I'm just trying to mix it up a little bit. But please subscribe if you haven't. It's free everywhere. And you can listen to these guys because they're fantastic.
Elton John would be good on your show.
Could you get him?
I don't know. John, do you know him?
You know Elton John?
No.
Elton, you're out there.
Do you know any really big actors that you can get on the show?
Any big
actors that you still talk with?
Oh, no.
You don't hang around with a lot of big actors?
No.
Do you?
No.
Nobody? Okay.
Next question.
Let me talk to Kristen. Thanks.
Can I ask one other question? Tom and all of you guys, if you could just comment on what it was like to work with Christopher Reeve. I know everybody would love to know scenes with him.
It was an honor. I mean, he was fantastic. He gave a riveting performance considering he couldn't move, and I don't mean that rudely. He really brought a lot of gravitas to, I can't believe I used that word, to, sorry about that, everyone, I apologize. But it was just really cool, and I've said this before in other panels, but he said to me, he goes, I'm really glad that they chose you to be the next Superman. And I'm like, well, they didn't. And he said, they should have, and I thought that was pretty cool. That was fucking good. Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah, I was jealous, man. That was cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Don't right. slip on your way out.
Go ahead, sir.
10 minutes? 10 minutes. Oh, we got to go into Blazing Saddles. What's it called?
Well, there is a Blazing
Lightning Round.
Lightning Round.
Lightning Round.
Oh, go ahead, sir. Go.
All right, I'll make it quick. I was going to ask you if you used Jonathan Kent as your inspiration for that scene, because I could definitely tell when you grabbed that, when you grabbed the kryptonite and just kind of chunked it, I could definitely tell.
Yes.
But I do have a request, actually, instead of a question. My wife wasn't able to be here today, and I was wondering if you might do me the huge favor of, like, doing a short video for her.
Not this moment.
All right, darn.
Sorry, it's a panel. It's all,
appreciate
you guys
it, guys.
Not just,
a but
problem.
We love you. Tell your wife we love her.
Yeah.
Mostly John, who would make out with her if she were here.
Okay, well, all right.
Thank you very much, and we love you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, let's go lightning blast speed.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much for being here. Actually, Michael, you were on my flight, and I was like, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything, though, because I didn't want it. Oh, okay. Yeah. And so I was wondering.
Rapid fire.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was wondering.
Did I fart in the plane constantly? Go ahead.
So with all the storylines, all the plots, every episode, what is one thing that you'd like to change, either plot-wise, story-wise, either from an episode or just in general?
I wanted Bruce Wayne to show up on the show.
That would be cool.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Who would be Bruce Wayne, though?
And I wanted Gene Hackman to show up. That would have been cool.
So then you could be like, I'm the best Lex Luthor.
He could have played my grandfather who's still alive and just an asshole. Yeah.
But Lachlan gets murdered.
It would have been cool to see Lex and Bruce like somehow just be like, somehow, hi, I'm Lex, or just, hi, Bruce.
Yeah.
Just sort of cross paths. That would have been cool.
You know what would have been cool? I would have loved an episode where, you know how you and John reverse characters,
yeah.
you exchange characters? What if Tom, like Clark and Lex, like I was the son? And he was the bad guy.
And Jonathan's just like rubbing your head.
Could you imagine? I could just see Schneider coming up. Hey, Lex.
Because
that's what he did. All right, next question. Thank you.
All right.
No, we're going to go here. Go. Here we go.
Most intense scene that each of y'all filmed over the series.
Most intense scene. Go, Tom.
Intense?
Me underwater. You.
You in the water.
No.
Oh.
It's me.
Intense. I don't know. Nothing really comes to mind.
Oh, me in a straitjacket. I changed it. Me in a straitjacket. I went crazy,
intense.
And I have injuries from that. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm going to sue.
I loved giving Lex shock treatment.
Oh.
Oh.
Remember that?
You bastard! That was the most loving thing that I think I have ever done with Lex. And that's why I gave him a second little shock, too, because the first one didn't catch enough. So we just did, do it again.
There was
and
some
it really
Doomsday
helped him along,
never...
didn't it? Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
No.
But my other favorite was the scene I had with Liza Minnelli.
I wish. They're like, people that didn't see the show, like, oh, yeah, Liza. She wasn't on the show. What was she going to do? Come on there. It's up to you, Smallville.
Thank you.
Right, get out. You already asked the question. Go ahead.
See, that's what it was like to work with Michael. He would sort of go off on these tangents.
Yeah,
and you just stand there wondering when he was going to come back.
Or down from the lithium.
I just want to know, what was it like for you personally, and you, Tom, y'all scene where y'all had to, you know, a little bit of mouth-to-mouth action going on there?
Well, that was one scene, so I'm glad you watched it over and over. But me giving Tom CPR, Tom, go ahead, tell us about that real quick.
Well, it was a little awkward, and I was like, well, you know, it's just, you got to do it, and Rosemond was sort of unconscious, and I paused, and he just kind of went, just do it, it's fine, just do it.
And then I said, then of course, afterwards, I go, how was I? Is that good?
Yeah, he wanted feedback from him being unconscious and me giving him CPR.
Of course he wanted feedback, because he wanted to be able to do it right.
Oh, dirty. I'm coming over there for those questions. We got 5 minutes? 6 minutes, go.
So my question is, on the show, why did the kryptonite affect so much, even though there wasn't a lot? Like, if it was like Lana's necklace, which I have, which actually.
That's
was.
A very good question. I have no idea.
Nice. Good question. No because it's TV.
Are you talking about the red kryptonite? The red kryptonite?
Are you talking about the green kryptonite?
Isn't the red one what makes you horny?
How old are you?
Makes Clark horny.
And the green one.
What did? Oh.
Sorry, she doesn't. The green one. Why? She wants to know why. I don't know. That's just continuity, and they just didn't care. Whether it's a little kryptonite or a lot of kryptonite, it Fs you up.
I don't
know.
You're the one that gave Lana kryptonite skin.
Come with me. Come with me down here. Come on, dude. Come on. We're going down here. What's your question?
I want to know the last day of filming on Smallville. What was y'all's reaction? How was it, the feeling?
John, what was the feeling your last day of Smallville when I threw you out an effing window, dude?
I can't understand anybody. You
what
know?
Is your feeling, your last day of Smallville, when you were done, your final day on the show? How did it feel for you?
Well, it was terrible because Greg was directing and he wanted more blood on me. So I couldn't sit down anywhere because my pants were sticking to me with this sort of mayonnaise-y, sticky red stuff all over me. I was miserable the last day of the shoot, but not because of it was the last day of Smallville, because my pants were sticking to me.
I thought you were going to say,
pretty deep.
It was emotional. I remember saying goodbye to Tom, but it wasn't. It was your sticky mayonnaise pants. I know, it's a reality. They asked the question. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so one of my most favorite episodes.
Are you drunk?
No.
All right, because this is what you're doing right now. She's like this, she's like, her eyes are like this, she's like, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, somebody need to screen this girl. Well, Juicy, you all here in New Orleans. Oh, damn, I hit your face.
Sorry he just hit her in the face with his microphone.
I just hit her in the face with the microphone.
That's the way he does on a set. He just gets excited.
So anyway, one of my favorite episodes was the Lex Luthor Christmas episode that had the plot sort of like...
Lexmas.
Yeah, Lexmas. And it was one of the more powerful episodes of it. It was one of the more powerful episodes. I really liked how he could see what
this is not
had.
Rapid fire.
So,
all right. So, Lexmas.
So, my question for everybody here was, what was your favorite ones to film?
All right. What was your favorite episodes? Go, Tom and John.
Transference, when John and I switch characters. That was awesome.
Oh.
And I like that one, too. But I also like the one where I had to save Martha. And I can't remember what it was, but I just knew I had a lot of stunts to do, and they let me do it. And I was so surprised with myself that I could.
Hell yeah. John is amazing. He's always been in such amazing shape. When he took his shirt off, I'm like, I have got to work out. I mean, he was always in shape. He was always just, he was with it. Maybe he wasn't with it off the set, but he seemed with it on the set.
This isn't rapid fire either.
Sorry!
I think we're just right, about out of time.
Both you and
last
Tom
one.
Got to direct episodes. Right. How did you use your experience as an actor to direct?
Tom.
It was great. I mean, we were lucky enough to be on the show for a couple years and have sort of a shorthand between a lot of the actors and knowing what the show was asking for. But I think that one informs the other. And it helped me when I was acting to help. It would help me understand why a director was asking me to do maybe certain things, having been in those shoes for a little while.
Yeah, and I think as an actor, when you...
Rapid
some directors, I know, but some directors, we have 3-4 minutes, but some directors just go, oh, I want you there. And they don't get things, right? But they're like, well, my character is not motivated to go here. Why am I going? There's all these questions, but as an actor, you can translate these things as a director.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Any on-screen pranks?
Constantly. Tom put fake diarrhea in my toilet bowl and had the crew guy come out and pretend he took a huge dump. And I was really pissed off until I found out it was chili from the day before. And Big Al, I thought, dumped up my trailer. Go ahead, last one.
Hi, my name is Gandhi. I come from Indonesia.
Thanks for the shirt, man.
Thank you. So it's miles and oceans away. Just want to.
Your breath is great.
Smallville is international. So not only you inspire the folks in this great country, but also in my country. So thank you so much. Me and my wife, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. How beautiful is that? How nice apropos. Job. And that's the last question.
One announcement, for those of you who have the Smallville cast meet and greet, come over to this side right now. It's going to happen right now. Just come on over to this side, the Smallville meet and greet. All right, ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause, Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and John Glover.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your support.
Thanks, guys. You rock. And if you like this, listen to the freaking interviews.